And the Lord, if you know John chapter 4, he met the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus was conversing with her, and Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then it goes on, it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I want to just say to the woman today, I just want every eye closed. Gently to the woman today, I'm just sensing there's some ladies here today that life is tough. Things are difficult, and maybe you've sensed that you haven't made the right decisions, and things don't seem to be working out the way you would want it to work out. And I just believe that that promise that Jesus gave, come drink of him, and he'll give you rivers of living water that will rise up from your belly and flow out of you, and that you would experience not your life, but his life in and through you. So, Father, I know you do not want to embarrass anyone here today, but I especially pray for our ladies, our women, that are precious in your sight. And Lord, so often they take so much of the badgering and the brunt of life. And Lord, and when especially for the ladies that are single amongst us and maybe living single lives, Lord, I ask that you would come with your life, and that, Lord, that you would just enable them to drink of you today, to receive of you and experience this river of living water that wells up to eternal life. I just even pray that just as we prayed that now, just drink of him, drink of the living God who comes to give you living water, and just to fill your spirit again, to fill your being again with the fullness of him. He comes to refresh you. He comes to enthuse you. He comes to bring you abundant life. So, Lord, we just release that over the wonderful ladies of this family, Lord, that they would be refreshed. They would know your presence. They would know your gentleness. They would know your touch. And that, Lord, they would be reinvigorated again to run with you, to walk after you, and to see you as their loving God who cares for them and undertakes for them in everything. Just sense, ladies, give up that guilt, give up that burden that you're carrying at this time, that you can walk in the freedom that Jesus has given you. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for ministering to our wonderful ladies and women here today. I pray that every one of them would walk in freedom today as they leave here. They would know what it is to have this abundant life and your living water flowing in and through them. Thank you, Lord. Just sense God didn't want to embarrass anyone, but if that's you today, just acknowledge Jesus and give him all the thanks and all the glory today. We're just going to listen to the word of prophecy to encourage us. If there's anyone else that's sensing a word from the Lord or a scripture, please come and submit it. We'd love to hear what God is saying to the church.
In a vision, I saw myself standing in the engine room of an ocean-going liner. Routine checks were being done before setting sail. It was warm and busy, and each and every person was very intentional as they performed their assigned tasks. There was an excitement and buzz, and I believe God is saying, be intentional and focused as you embark on each day on your journey of life. There are tasks and assignments that only you can do, which I have assigned to you. My planning is without fault. I know where I'm taking you and what I have purposed for you. But when you are haphazard and wander off, enticed by your own choices and will, or lend an ear to the promptings of the devil and his cohorts, you get off course. You then have the choice to return or get deeper into the quagmire of distraction. You forget my promises and the words spoken over you. You willingly choose a path of least resistance and are swept away in a swirl of fruitless activity. Choose this day to gird up the loins of your mind and determine that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Choose my call and allow me to commission you afresh.
I just sense, let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. God's been speaking. I want you to hear what God is saying. Yes, it'll come through the preaching too. But let's respond with faith what God is actually saying to us. Thank you, Lord. I just do sense here is that, I don't know who it is, but someone's got a very important decision to make. You've been pondering upon it and you've had an uneasiness not to do it or to do it. And I just sense the Lord saying to you, wait. Don't be in a hurry. Wait. Don't try and open the door. Let God go before you to open and to shut the door. But wait, don't run ahead of him. Let him go before you and open up the way before you. Joan, the Lord just wants to tell you he loves you. And the Lord's bringing deliverance to your family. You have trusted, you have sought him, and God wants to tell you that he is the healer and he is the deliverer. Your hope is not unfounded. God has heard every prayer, he has answered every prayer, and he has gone before you. And you will find Jesus as your deliverer king. He has gone before you. He will set people free. You will see the power of God setting people free. You will see the day of deliverance. The King of Kings is your deliverer. Thank you, Lord. Andrew, as the Lord gave you the word the other day that you're in a valley of decision, and the Lord wants to encourage you today to fix your eyes upon him, not to turn to the left and to the right, not even to look what your own desires are, but to look to him and allow him to guide you and to lead you by his Holy Spirit, and he will show you the way to walk and to guide you and direct you. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Father, I just commit your people to you. As your word says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I pray for the leading of your Spirit for every individual here, Lord, in the affairs of life. Lord, that we'll not live as mere men, but we'll live as children of God. And that, Lord, that you would order our footsteps, that we not only see your provision, but we will see your delight over us, Lord. And that we would see your splendor in the fullness and this abundance that you have for us. I pray that for everyone here today, Lord, that you would reveal your greatness and the wonder of who you are in our lives. May we not fall into the trap of mundane living, But may we go into that place of worship and glory and live this higher life that you've called us to live in you, to walk in this rich relationship with you and this abundance of knowing you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I think just as Mark was praying for Andrew and saying he's got decisions to make, I just felt the Lord saying that is for most of us here. I just feel that God has taken us to a place where He wants no compromise. I think what worked before was great, but He's taken us into something new. And we serve a jealous God. We serve a God who wants all of us. And we serve a God who wants to perfect us. And I just believe some of us are feeling unsettled because we've mixed the world in our walk with Jesus. And God wants us to come to a decision to separate that. A place of no compromise. And I just feel in your life, you know, just look at yourself right now and just see where you've mixed the world into your life. Because the Lord wants us to separate that. So my word is just don't allow compromise to hinder your walk with Jesus any longer. And as Mark encouraged and exhorted Andrew, I just feel it's for a lot of people here. It even spoke to me. No more compromise. We need to separate the light from the darkness in our lives. I tell you, God has taken us into something very new, but He wants us to have no compromise in our lives. And I feel that God is showing you what it is. You know where you're mixing the world into your life, and it's no longer any good before the Lord. He wants you to rid yourself of that so we can be children of light, to guide into this world and live a life that is pleasing to Him and make a difference. So if you have to make that decision in your heart, make that decision. And if you know you're unsettled and you're compromising, today is the day to separate it in your life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God loves you. Do you Amen. Know that? Do you know that? Every single one of you are loved by the Lord, and God is a good God, and He wants to lead you into the fullness of His abundant life and His righteousness. Take hold of Him. He has much before you, much to bless you with. He wants to show you His goodness. Amen. Amen. Thanks, team. That was fantastic. Well done. Thank you. Amen. Come, Franco. Franco's going to be sharing the word with us today. And I'd love to pray with you. And we just trust for God's outpouring. Let's stretch our hands towards Franco. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, you're the light of your word. And I just thank you for this wonderful messenger that you've raised up, Lord, to bring truth to us. And I pray that your anointing would rest upon Franco, that, Lord, as he speaks your word, that he would speak it boldly. And that our hearts and our minds would be changed today, Lord. And not only that our hearts and minds would be changed, that, Father, that healing would come and deliverance would come to all of us here today as we trust you to do your work amongst us now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Franco.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, everybody. It's a wonderful pleasure, again, to deliver the word today. How many people are flesh and bone and blood here today? All of you. Wow. Hey, how many of you have made mistakes in life? How many of you had evil thoughts? How many of you have done wrong things? I say you're all human. Great. I'm glad to see that. Prophetic word went out this morning, which is very much in line with what I'd like to share this morning, and that is, you got paths in life. Everybody has a path in life to walk. And you can harden your heart to the voice of God, or you can open your heart to the voice of God and hear what God has to say. You have a choice. The word's been coming out here today, and it's like as everything's just being prepared for what I want to minister today, and it's so wonderful. And while I was sitting there, you know, also along the lines of Andrew, and you know, just before Mark spoke about Andrew, the Lord was just saying to me, I must just say to the young people here today, like when I was a young man, God spoke to my heart and he said to me, I want the coals of your life, not the ashes one day. You know? And you know, when God speaks to you, you know God is speaking to you. You could sit here today and what I'm going to say might mean absolutely nothing to you. But you're a young person. There's a young person here today that God is speaking to and saying to you, I want the coals of your life. I want you to burn brightly in this world for me. Don't come to me when you are all ashes. I can use you if you're going to open your heart to me today. Today. God's not saying one day. He's saying today. The word says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. There are opportunities in life that you may never, ever get again. Today, God is speaking to somebody here, and he's saying it's your opportunity today. I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Hallelujah. So now concerning the paths and of life and everything like that, you know, the devil is out and he's going about and he wants to try and destroy us as people. And you know that when you go to war, you got to put armor on. You know, in the old days they had this massive armor that they put on. I wonder how they even got around with all the, you know, the armor that they used to wear. But the thing is, the Bible says, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in the evil day. Do you know that we all have an evil day? I don't care whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you'll have an evil day. But the thing is about a Christian is he's got the armor. And the evil day will come against him. And when he has the armor of God and he has the word of God, he can stand against the devil. You see, if you go into training, you go into military, you go into training long before the war comes. And when the war comes, you are prepared for that war. Am I right? So don't wait until trouble comes and then you run to God. Start getting prepared now so that you can be ready when the onslaughts of the devil come. Am I wrong? Am I right? Amen? So prepare your hearts. Prepare yourselves. And this is all about what I'm going to share this morning, but I'm coming to you at first of all in preparation, and then I'm coming to you in action. And the whole thing is this. And what I'm ministering about today is the roar of the lion. The roar of the lion. Right, but I'm going to get to the roar of the lion a little later. But I first want to read Mark 4, verse 14, from verse 14 to you. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. And the sower sows the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation. Verse 15. In the first group are ones along the road where the word is sown. But when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So, the word of God is sown into your heart. You could be like a roadside. You could be on the run all the time and the word of God comes to you and you're so busy you just don't have time to meditate on that word and to get that word inside of you. So what does the devil do? Comes and steals it. And then it's gone and you don't remember it. So come to church with a notebook. In a similar way, the second group are the ones on whom the seed was sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, but accept it only superficially, and they have no real root in themselves. So they endure only for a little while, and then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they are offended and displeased and being associated with me and stumble and fall. Do you get offended when people come to you and say to you, do you know, the word of God says it's wrong to live together before you get married? Do you feel offended? I've had people, they were so offended in me when I told them that. That they didn't want to even serve God with me anymore. And I said, you know, it's not me that said that. It's the word. And fortunately, they turned around and started listening to what the word said. Everyone I've spoken to so far has turned and listened. But at first, it's like a shock of offense. Because naturally, we don't want to be told we're wrong in what we're doing. And some people don't even know it's wrong. There are Christians out there that don't even know it's wrong. And when you speak to them, there's offense that's come. You know, so the Bible says that blessed is he that is not offended in me. So this is the rocky ground is, you know, there's a lot of rocks around, you know, and it's just like kind of a hard sort of a nut to crack. But God can sink in. Amen. And then others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are ones who have heard the word. Listen to this, sown amongst the thorns. Now, but the worries and the cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures and deceitfulness and false security or glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desire for all the other things that creep in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. There's a desire in your heart to do for God, to work for God, to learn about God. But the world just draws you so much stronger. The world just becomes so much more of an attraction to you. Fame becomes an attraction to you. I've seen that with young people that I've been dealing with, even in the valley. They want to become famous. They want to become known. They want to be somebody, and in a sense where they don't have time for God. They'd rather go and do these other things than serve God. And money is something. People will rather put all their effort and their time into working for money, and it draws them away from God. But you know, God is a great God. Ask me. I know what. I've gone through exactly all this myself in life. But when I started drawing away from concentrating all my efforts on earning money, God started showing me how to earn money without concentrating all my efforts on earning money. God started blessing me in ways that I couldn't dream. But God has a way. When you start putting yourself more into God and God's word and becoming more effective for God, you're going to see the effects of God's provision in your life like you've never seen. Now, when I tell you this, it doesn't sound good, like it's going to really happen, you know. But I'm telling you, it happens. It happens. I want to challenge you on that. And then those in the last group are the ones on whom the seed was sown and on good soil, and they hear the word of God, the good news regarding the way of salvation. They accept it and bear fruit. This is what God wants you to do. The others has got no sign of bearing fruit. It's very selfish, self-centered. Everything about it is around their life. There's no concern about others. But here it is. They accept and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much as was sown. Now, how do you do that? By getting to know the Word of God. If you don't get to know the word of God in those three groups of people, you're going to go through more difficult times in life than what you're with a Christian that is really meaning, business with God is going to go through. If you really mean business with God, you will be able to overcome all the problems in life. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So God wants you to open your heart. Now we've got an issue that we have to deal with. And I believe now the devil, the Bible says in Peter 5, verse 8, I think it is. It says, be sober-minded. The Bible says here, be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Just going to stop there. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, you know, you ever heard a lion roar? You know, like, it kind of shocks you, isn't it? So your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. He is not, the Bible doesn't say, your adversary, the devil, who is a roaring lion. It doesn't say that. It says, as a roaring lion. The Bible says that Jesus says, I saw him fall down to the ground and hit the dust. And the Bible says he's under my feet. You know that? If I'm a spirit, I'm a Christian, Satan's under my feet. If I'm not a Christian, he's a dominating force over my life. Right? Then he's not under my feet. But if I'm a Christian, Satan's under my feet. So what happens now? This roaring lion, he's like a little mouse. You know, have you ever heard of like a little fox terrier runs out there? Yep, 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 yep. And you get a fright, you know, because he's got such a big mouth. But he's a little thing, you know. You can kick him flying. But, you know, but what do you do is you stop and you put it. And he runs away. Amen? Because now there's a greater authority than him that's turned around. But I mean, he likes to act big. And that's exactly what the devil is. He comes at you and he shouts at you. And he gets your attention. Because he goes about as if he were. But he is not. And what he does is, in many different ways, he gets your attention. And the next verse is in 9. It says, resist him, standing firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Resist him. You've got to resist him. Strongly resist him in faith. Steadfastly resist him in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the word of God. I could just shout at the devil and say, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And he doesn't leave me alone because I don't know the word of God. Do you know that Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. The Bible says the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's been sent out to do. So if I resist the devil with the word of God, he cannot stand against the word of God. So what does the Bible say? Get to know the word. You should be at every Bible study and every service to get to know the word of God. You should be so hungry for the word of God that you're full of God's word. And when any attack comes your way, you're able to resist him. So a roar gets your attention and it startles you. And what Satan does is he's got a way of getting our attention, in other words, by startling us with something. It's like a storm that comes, you know. You get this massive storm and you don't know what to do. Don't make decisions in a storm, you know. So everything is calm in your mind and it's at peace. And how does that roar come? it finds a good Christian or a so-called Christian or a non-Christian, because he needs a person to speak through to bring doubt into your mind. Okay, now listen to what I've got to say. It's very important, this. Okay. Sometimes he uses us to hurt others, to speak negatively to others. We speak fear, doubt into people's hearts sometimes. We've got to be very careful of what we speak. But Satan, what does he do? He brings fear, he brings doubt through what's been said, and he's a deceiver. He comes with deception, and he puts that into your mind. And have you heard that saying, that mind is the devil's playground? Have you heard it? Your mind is the devil's playground. And once a thought has been put into your mind, he starts playing with it, and you start playing with it. Words are placed into your mind. It comes, and your mind affects your emotions. Amen? So, he places a desire in your mind. It's an evil desire. That's why I asked you if you were human when we started. Because we're all human. None of you can sit there and shine your halo and say, I didn't go through this. Because every one of us goes through these things. He puts evil thoughts in your mind, aggressive thoughts in your mind, lustful thoughts in your mind, sickness, sick thoughts in your mind about your body. And he tries to get you to respond to the thoughts that have been put in your mind. And the playground becomes a battlefield. When you decide that you are not going to slide into this thing that Satan wants you to slide into, it becomes a battlefield, not a playground. You either got to decide, am I going to fight this, or I'm just going to float along with it. So sometimes you're going to take those thoughts that are in your mind and you're going to entertain them. And you're going to think about them, and you're going to think about, and the devil's going to play around with you, and he's going to say, well, why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and you know this, and that, and that, and that, and it all grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and the next thing, you do it. He comes to your mind, and he puts this thought in your mind about sickness and disease, and he plays with your mind, and he plays with your mind, and he plays, and you start getting feelings in your body, and you start feeling this, and you start feeling that, and you start speaking it, and the next thing, you're sick. These thoughts become realities. We got to make up our mind, are we going to bring about the realities of what Satan roars into our minds at first, we tend to accept them, but we mustn't accept them. We must fight against them. Sometimes that's why they sin, because sometimes they seem so wonderful. I mean, to Adam and Eve, when Satan came and said, did not God say that you can eat of every fruit in the garden? He came and he twisted the word a little bit. And Eve said, no, he didn't say that. He said we can eat every fruit in the garden except that one. Now you know as well as Eve knew what sin is. I don't have to, like somebody comes to me and say, is this sin? I say, why are you asking me? You know that adultery is sin. You don't have to come and ask me. You know that fornication is sin. You don't have to come and ask me. You know that stealing is sin. You don't have to come and ask me. You know that killing is sin. You don't have to come and ask me. Eve knew that the fruit was wrong to eat because God said so. God has given you a consciousness in your heart. If you're a Christian or not, you know what's right and wrong. So Satan goes about as if he were a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the lion comes to the elephant, and he goes, and the elephant goes, see, it's the lion. The lion says, I am the king of the jungle. And he says, oh, are you? Yes. And you bear less to me. The elephant says, come here. Picks him up with his trunk. And he falls with his head in the river. Says, I wasn't serious. If you don't take your authority, he's going to walk all over you. But you have to take your authority over him, and he won't be able to walk over you. Yes, you might have the flu for a week. Yes, you might have a trial for a while. But he won't be able to overcome you. You will overcome him with the word of God. Amen? Satan will carry on and on and on. If you don't, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the word of God, bringing it into subjection. Bring it into subjection to the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Bring it into subjection to what? To the word of truth, the word of God. The word of God is powerful enough. I remember one day I was driving in my car and this evil thought came into my mind. And I thought, where did that come from? And I said, get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. I cast this thought out. And the next thing I thought, now what was I thinking about? Because it wasn't my thought. Satan will come and put thoughts in your mind and he'll try and get you to entertain them. Make up your mind to resist it and he will flee from you. Amen. There's another scripture I want to read. Okay, but I'll get there. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, it says, no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. So Satan comes around, he comes, sits here in church. He comes and he masquerades like an angel of light. And people say, isn't that a nice guy? Isn't that a nice lady? And Nikki looks at her or him and thinks, there's something weird about that person. Mark looks and thinks, yeah. Nikki says, you better watch out. Because you're not just a man, you're not just body and mind. You know that? You got a spirit. And your spirit will warn you. I've already shaken someone's hand and God says, watch out for this guy. My spirit goes, Murr! Don't know if you've done it. And I've done it and I've also done it in business. And I shake someone's hand and God says, watch out for this guy. My spirit's negative. He's such a nice person, charismatic. And God says, Murr! And then I think, nah, but there's good business to be done here. Do I lose money at the end of the day? And am I so disappointed at the end of the day? And you all can relate to this. You all relate to this. You've met people like that, and you haven't listened to the Spirit of God, and you have fallen in the hole because you haven't listened to the Spirit of God. Because we have the Spirit of God, and the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And God will always warn you when something like that happens. And you can go along and play along with it. And at the end of the day, it may take a while, but you're going to be sorry. So he masquerades around like an angel of light. I've seen in my whole life that I've been living since 19 years old with Christ, I've seen angel of light come into churches and split churches in half or totally. Because they got a way of coming in and shining, and at the right moment, they strike with their evil. When everyone that is supposed to be there is around, that is going to be hurt by their actions. So we as elders have to be careful, and we've got to watch out for people that are going to try and come in and break up the flock of God. And you, not only us, but you have to be concerned about your brothers and sisters in the church, that no one's going to come in here and try and destroy them. Because there are people around. The Bible says that the wheat and the tares will grow up together in the church. We've got to watch for one another. I'm gonna bring it to a close now. Oh, let me bring it to a close. So now what happens is the devil comes along and he makes you feel inferior. He comes into your mind, and many people have spoken things to you in life, and you feel inferior because people are cruel. You may be in school, and your teacher says something to you. I wouldn't say the word. And then you think, God, oh, no, I am stupid. You know, I'm not as bright as everybody else because, and maybe it's somebody close to you, maybe your mother, your father, or somebody has said something to you, or made you feel like you are not up to scratch with everyone else. You're inferior. And the devil ministers to your mind. And you go through life feeling like you're inferior. And God says, he's no respecter of persons. And God says that he created everyone the same. Each and every one of us. And God loves each and every one of you. And Jesus says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. So don't feel inferior, even with a word. Get the word of God in you, and I promise you, you won't feel inferior anymore. Because when you're feeling inferior and you get the word of God in you, you will stand against the devil and he'll flee from you. You don't have to feel inferior anymore. And I promise you, it'll bring out the reality of getting rid of all inferiority in your life as well as a Christian. So, you're living in fear. People are walking around with fear. It's amazing how many people are walking around with fear. Why? Because there's either thoughts being placed in their mind that they're afraid of, they're superstitious about things. Where does superstition come from? When somebody says, oh, it's Friday the 13th. You know? And they're all superstitious about that. Or they say, don't walk under a ladder. Ooh, walk under a ladder. You know, there's such a lot of superstition. But then there's fear that people are walking in, fear of the dark, you know, and stuff like that. But the Bible says that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. If you have the Spirit of God, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He hasn't given you fear. He's given you power. He's given you love. And he's given you a sound mind. So now you get fear. You walk into, I'll walk into Joseph's house. And I feel fear. Why? Because there's demon activity in the house. I walk into Joseph's house and I feel oppression. Why? because there's oppression, the devil is operating, there's no harmony in that home. Am I right? This is what happens. I sense that. I have that type of discernment. So the thing is this, that what do? God's preparing me that I'm walking into that house and I'm going to have to counsel my husband and wife or the children. I walk into that house, there's demon activity, I'm going to have to deal with that demon activity, get it out of that house. Amen? So God has given you no spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says sickness is oppression of the devil. Sometimes when you walk in the house and you feel oppression, it's because of sickness and you need to pray for those people for healing. So the thing is, you've got to resist the devil. Not only in your own life, but you've got to help your brethren to overcome the devil so that they can live victorious lives as well. And when they start seeing the power of God working in you, they are going to start wanting more and more of God. So submit yourself under the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him and he will flee from you. Come close to God with a contrite heart and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded people, James 4 says. Now, the Bible says wash your hands and cleanse your heart. Now, the devil may be playing with your mind at the moment. You may be playing into the hands of the devil. You may be living with and entertaining thoughts that are not of God. You may be entertaining thoughts of sickness in your body. And the devil is trying to bring you down and he's trying to destroy you by you playing around with sickness thoughts in your mind. You know, I actually knew a woman who spoke herself to death. I went to visit, I used to minister in Newlands, and I went to Newlands. I spoke to this woman in Newlands, and I said to her, why don't you come to church? She says, I'm not coming to church. I'm going to get very sick. I said to her, what are you talking about? Telling me you're going to get sick. She says, I just feel it coming. I said to her, what do you mean you feel it coming? She says, don't you try and tell me what to do with my life, young man. I was young then. She says, I'm telling you something bad is coming upon me. So I said to her, well, if you say it, you're going to get it. She told me I must get out of her house. And truly 3 months later, that woman died. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that live thereby will eat the fruit thereof. So today I want to ask you, have you got things in your life that are like binding you, that you can't get ahead, that sickness in your body, that you're feeling it's going to get worse and not get better, and the devil's saying it's going to get worse and not going to get better, and you're going to die, and things are just going to get worse for you because this and that, and he comes to you and he puts these evil thoughts in your mind about your body, and then he tells you your mind's not right, there's something wrong with your mind. And he comes to you and he puts lustful thoughts in your mind, and you're sitting and you can't put your mind off into normal gear because you've got all this going on in your mind all the time. And he comes to you with all kinds of deception in your heart, and he's speaking to your mind and he's telling you all kinds of stuff that you don't want to know, but you can't help yourself because it's like a dominating force that's trying to take control of you. Then I think you need to be delivered today. You know what I'm saying? Don't have all the words to put it into, but you know what I've been ministering on. And God wants to set you free here today. I was laying in bed last night and I wanted to minister on, we're supernatural. And God said to me, no, there's an issue at hand that you've been doing counseling with a couple of people around the church. You need to minister on this today. And that's why I ministered what I'm ministering today. You are supernatural, by the way. And you can overcome the devil in everything. Even now, you can overcome the devil. If you just want to say, I need to be set free. I've been trying this on my own. I want to be set free. If you don't know Jesus today, if you never invited him into your heart, I'm speaking to the young people, and Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and he's saying, I want to come into your heart. You know it's you. So let's pray. Close your eyes. If you hear Jesus knocking at your heart's door today, he's saying, my child, come to me today. Then I want you to put up your hand and say, I'm that person. Don't delay. Just put up your hand straight away and say, I'm that person. I want to come to Jesus today. Thank you for that, and anyone want to put up your hand and say, I want to come to Jesus today. Jesus, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm not going to be worried about my friends around me. I've seen the hands have gone up. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, praise God. Okay, now, if you put up your hand, right, I'm not going to expect you just to carry on living the way you're living. Today, you're going to give your life to Jesus once and for all. And Jesus is going to come into your heart and make a difference. Okay, we're going to pray. So I want you, those that put up your hands and everybody else that didn't put up their hand, that feel that they wanted to, I want you to pray this with me and everyone else that didn't. Say, dear Lord Jesus, say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, that I can give my heart to you today. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I want to say thank you that you died on the cross for me, that you rose again from the dead for me, that you took my sin, which I now give to you, and cleanse me and wash me as white as snow. I repent of my sin. I turn my back on my sin. And I give my life to you. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. And Lord Jesus, from today onwards, I'm your child. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now you're a child of God, eh? You don't belong to the devil no more. You did 2 minutes ago. Praise the Lord. So now, but now you're a child of God. Now, the Bible says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavily laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest. Now, you have got a battle on the inside of you, and you need to be set free. And I need, and the elders need to pray for you and with you. Now, if you are one of those people that feel this way, don't be afraid to come forward. This is the church. This is like the hospital. This is where you're getting healed. I want to ask you to come forward. Come forward so that we can pray with you and that you can be set free. You're all spiritual. You're all too spiritual. No bodies here. No minds here. Now God's speaking to you. He's going to give it a few minutes. Or should I just stand here all day? No, I just say, you know that God wants to set you free. And the Bible says, who Christ sets free is free indeed. Okay, is there nobody that wants prayer? You want to speak? Yeah, okay. Ivan.
If the Lord is speaking to you this morning, don't leave this place. without us praying for you. And I just feel there's somebody sitting here today as well that you're battling with a spirit of oppression. And I can see this black cloud over and over, and you've been battling with it for many, many years. And Jesus wants to set you free of that today. If that is you, you need to come to the front here this morning. If there are people that are battling with other things, you need to be here. Jesus wants to set you free. Don't leave here this morning and you're carrying all that stuff.
All right. The reason why I ministered along these lines this morning, and I'm just going to mention, there had been a couple of serious issues that had been dealt with. Serious issues. And we just don't want serious issues to carry on. And if you have, and you didn't feel like getting up and coming forward, please come after the service. We're here for you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Franco. But I just sense also lust. You know, we're all prone to that. The evil one comes to destroy marriages and destroy people's lives. And if you're dealing with that thing, you will not overcome it in your own strength. It'll be impossible. We have to overcome it in the name of Jesus. And if you need prayer in that area, don't be embarrassed. We're not here to embarrass you in any way. If you've opened up the door to pornography, in that area and allow lust to grow in that area. I'm just saying under the Holy Spirit, we're not here to incriminate you. We're here to stand with you and to set you free. But we don't want to embarrass you. Come and let us pray with you after the service. Thank you, Franco, for that. I think that's real. You all have a responsibility to resist the devil. It's not my responsibility or your wife's or your husband's. It's your responsibility to overcome. And you need to take authority over the enemy when he comes against you. When the day of evil comes. Amen. Let's stand and worship our King with the last song. And those of you who need prayer, please come and join us in the front afterwards. Thank you, Franco.
he could ever want it. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. The Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Just take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. Right, yeah, I'm yours. You are mine.
Amen. Thank you, team. I want you to do something a bit different this morning as we close off, and I want you to open your Bibles, everyone with your Bible, whether it's on your phone or not, and I want you to turn to Jude. Jude is only one chapter, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25 as a benediction. All got your Bibles? Where's your Bibles, church? Just before Revelations is Jude. You got it? You know, I'm just sensing the Holy Spirit that this is how you must finish off your days. For the next while, as you pray together as a family, quote the scripture, Jude 24 and 25. Okay, has everyone got it? And we're going to say it together. Oh, they can't sing yet, Mom. They've got to just read it at the moment. Okay, let's say it together. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to your only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. God bless you all. Thank you, Franco. Have a great day. Come and join us for a cup of tea and coffee at the top. Those that are visitors, you come and get your free cappuccino. God bless you. And leaders, remember, we are meeting from Opus 11. God bless you all. Thank you. Thanks, team.